not always, but often when we are experiencing conflict and pushback, we're not only struggling because of the conflict and pushback, but we're also struggling because of what the conflict and pushback elicits within us. It becomes much more productive when you realize, no, the conflict isn't the problem. The conflict is a natural symptom of the role that I am stepping into. And now I am being called to rise to a higher, more sophisticated level of leadership and show people my abilities to navigate this difficult situation.
Welcome to The Art of Speaking Up, a podcast that helps professional women access the limitless potential that lies within them. I'm your host, Jessica Guzik, and my mission is to help you find that spark inside you that has the power to transform your career in ways you may not have thought possible. I'm so excited that you're here. And now, on to the show.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here and for tuning in. My name is Jess. I am the host and creator of the Art of Speaking Up podcast. I'm a New York Times featured podcast host, and I help professional women feel amazing inside. If you want to feel really confident about yourself and your capabilities, if you want to become a really strong voice in the room, take up more space, and have a bigger impact within your organization, you are in the perfect place, and I am all about helping you do this in a way that feels authentic to you. I really believe that, you know, even though as women we face so many pressures and external circumstantial challenges in corporate environments, even though there's so much pressure for us to show up a certain way and so many challenges that we face, I really deeply believe within the core of my being that the more authentic you are and the more that you can feel strong and solid inside and learn to lead and have a powerful voice based on your authentic self and who you are deep down inside at your core, the bigger impact you will have and the more success you'll achieve in your corporate career. This is what I experience to be true. And my hope is to offer you tools to help you not just feel confident and not just succeed and create big success in your corporate career, but to do so while feeling like yourself and feeling proud of the version of you that you are being. So that's what we are doing on this show. And in today's episode, we are diving into one of the most popular topics that I've ever talked about on this podcast. And I've actually only ever done one episode on it. So I realized I was well overdue to share more on this. And this is the topic of navigating difficult stakeholders and navigating conflict and disagreement, which is unavoidable in your corporate career. It's something that can be really, really hard. It can elicit a lot of discomfort. It can really poke and sort of trigger difficult feelings within you when you find yourself interacting with a difficult stakeholder. And it's also something that is really going to help you feel strong and powerful and confident inside as you get better at navigating it. Now, what I'm going to share today in this episode is a really important mindset shift that is foundational in order for you to become really effective working with challenging stakeholders or managing through conflict. This might end up being a two-part episode because I have a lot to share on this. And that brings me to the next caveat that I wanted to share before I go deeper into the details of this episode, which is that this is a huge topic. So for me to really give you proper guidance on this, I'm going to have to record multiple podcast episodes on this. So treat this as a starting point to help you get started. But just know that a topic as deep and complex as navigating disagreements, and not just disagreements between coworkers and stakeholders, but disagreements between humans, right? Navigating disagreement is hard. It's one of the hardest things about being human, whether you're looking at it inside or outside of a work environment. As humans, we run up against each other. We run into conflict. It's just inevitable. And for many, many people, it is one of the most difficult things to navigate, not just in work, but also in life. So, number one, that means there's lots to talk about, and I don't want to risk oversimplifying this topic. So just know what I'm sharing today is one of many different angles that are all equally important. And number two, please have lots of compassion and understanding for yourself if you struggle with this, because you are certainly not the only one. And because you're not the only one who struggles with it, when you get better at it, you are going to be able to majorly stand out and have an outsized impact. Because whenever there's an area that's very, very difficult, it's the people who learn to get really good at it that can really, really stand out. And so I say that to motivate you through the difficult moments of stakeholder disagreements and stakeholders being difficult and pushing back against you, because it really is worth developing that skill. It changed my career completely, and it has the power to change your career too. So I'm really excited to dive in. Before I go deep into this and share an analogy and some learnings for you, I want to invite you, if you haven't already, to download my free resource library. The free resource library is a one-stop shop where you will find all of my free courses, ebooks, worksheets, and audio trainings, all organized and available in one streamlined place. There are a ton of free resources in this library, but my most popular one is my assertiveness ebook, which is called The Smart, Ambitious Woman's Guide to Assertiveness in the Workplace. It guides you through both the mindset and tactical tools of growing your ability to speak assertively. And so many of my clients tell me that this ebook gave them their very first breakthroughs when it came to really finding their voice and building that confidence. In addition to the ebook, you're going to find a ton of tools in the free resource library, all designed to help you build confidence, communicate more effectively, and connect with that inner leader and CEO that you are ready to unleash and bring out super powerfully into the workplace. If that excites you, and if you are feeling ready and excited to dive into this library of free resources, head over to jessguzzickcoaching.com/free resources to grab it for free. I will also put it in the show notes. That's jessguzzickcoaching.com/free resources. And with that, I want to talk quite a bit more about navigating conflict and working with difficult stakeholders. And one thing that I want you to keep in mind is that it's really normal to struggle. So some of the struggles that I'm going to be talking about and some of the shifts that I'm going to be guiding you through, I have experienced those struggles. I have gone through those shifts. Most people that I work with experience some version of these struggles. So just know that, one, you're not alone. Two, there's no judgment about any, you know, difficulty you might be running into. We all get stuck and caught sometimes in psychological patterns that aren't serving us. And that's something that's really going to come out of this particular episode, is that a lot of times when we're dealing with difficult stakeholders, it's not just the difficult stakeholder that's the problem. It's also that we've got some internal stuff that's getting stirred up inside of us that's making it even harder. Now, I don't say this to place blame on anyone and say that it's your fault if someone's being difficult or rude. That is not what I'm saying whatsoever. What I'm saying, though, is often, not always, but often when we are experiencing conflict and pushback, we're not only struggling because of the conflict and pushback, but we're also struggling because of what the conflict and pushback elicits within us. It can make us feel scared. It can make us feel insecure. It can make us question ourselves. It can make us feel overwhelmed. So a lot of learning to navigate conflict is learning to become stronger within you. And this is a really helpful shift to make, because the truth is we can't really control other people's behaviors. And while we can certainly influence people's behaviors and we can become more persuasive with our words and the way that we interface with stakeholders, the only person we are fully capable of autonomously, quote unquote, controlling is ourselves. And we're not even fully in control of ourselves all of the time either. But when it comes to our ability to be in the driver's seat and make decisions, the person that we can make decisions about most is us. And so I find it's always really helpful to start with ourselves as an initial starting point. Not because this doesn't mean, I'm not saying that it's okay that people are rude to you or people are not treating you well. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that the more psychologically strong you are internally, the more you will be able to respond to those difficult things in an effective, autonomous, empowered way. And I think that this is a really important part of leadership. Now, what I want to start with and what I want to get into first is something that I see a lot of people doing. This is a mindset thing that makes it harder to navigate conflict. And most people don't realize they are even doing it. It is something that we are doing unconsciously. My goal is to bring it to the surface for you, to make it conscious so you can decide what mindset you want to cultivate when it comes to navigating difficult stakeholders and disagreement. So the mindset that I see people get stuck in, and I'm going to explain what I mean by this, but the mindset that I see people get stuck in is that they aren't properly valuing conflict management and resolution as a leadership skill. They are undervaluing it as a skill. And in order for me to explain this to you, I want to share an analogy with you. So I want you to imagine that you are planning your wedding. And as part of that, you're going to hire a wedding planner, and you're going to pay this wedding planner to be in charge of planning and managing many of the logistics for your wedding. Now, I want you to imagine that you are choosing who to hire as your wedding planner, and you're interviewing different wedding planners. And you've talked with people about what questions to ask them, and you realize that one important role that a wedding planner plays is coordinating and being able to coordinate lots of moving pieces, especially on the day of the wedding, but even leading up to it. And so one of the questions you want to ask the wedding planner is, how are you going to deal with any conflicts or mishaps or chaos that arises between the various wedding vendors on the day of or leading up to the wedding? You want to get a sense of how the wedding planner would navigate that type of experience. So you interview the first wedding planner and you say, hey, if there's some chaos or conflict between the vendors on the day of the wedding or leading up to the wedding, walk me through how you would handle that. And I want you to imagine that the first wedding planner says, oh, I'm just going to hope for no conflict. It is so much easier to plan and execute a wedding if no one's arguing with anyone and everything's going smoothly. So my main goal is just to avoid conflict. I don't want to get into that. It's very frustrating. It's very annoying. I don't like conflict. So there's my answer. Okay. Then you ask the second wedding planner the same question. And they say, oh, if a conflict arises, it is my responsibility to figure it out. It might be difficult. People might feel frustrated, but I will gather the information. I will understand what's happening, and I will figure out how to create resolution between the vendors. I will take that on. You do not have to worry about that. All you have to do is show up for and enjoy your special day. Okay. Now, this is a very obvious example, right? But what I want to ask you is, which wedding planner are you going to hire and why? Most people are going to hire the second one. And the reason I'm sharing this analogy with you is because this is an analogy or an example where it's really easy to see that conflict resolution is a valuable skill. That when you are hiring someone to help you, if that person is willing and able to resolve conflict, you get more value from that person. And I'm willing to bet you would probably be willing to pay a little more money to hire the second wedding planner because you value their skill in resolving conflict. So the reason that I want to share this with you is because when we are experiencing conflict, we are often not thinking about it from the perspective of our employer and from the perspective of our boss and from the perspective of leadership at our company. So in your company, it is as if your boss or the leaders of your company are hiring you as their wedding planner, right? They are hiring you to take work off of their plate. They are hiring you to fulfill a complex task for them. And I really want you to think about when they're hiring employees or they're hiring wedding planners, who do they want to hire and why? Do they want to hire the first type of employee or wedding planner that doesn't want to deal with conflict or the second kind, right? When you put yourselves in the shoes of the person that's hiring, you can see how much you value and how important it is for you to have the people who are helping you and working for you and supporting you to have those people be willing and able to navigate through disagreement and conflict. And the reason that I'm sharing this with you is because a lot of us, and I've done this too, so I am not talking down to you. This is a really, really difficult thing. But a lot of us are in the mindset of wedding planner number one. And it's really important to figure out if you're there. And if you are, you want to shift out of that mindset and become more like wedding planner number two. So the mindset of wedding planner number one is that conflict shouldn't happen. I don't want to deal with conflict. I shouldn't have to deal with conflict. Conflict is something that I want to avoid. A lot of us start out there, especially when we are not super strong and confident about our ability to deal with and navigate difficult stakeholders and navigate conflict. We want it to go away. We want it to not be there in the first place. And when you look at this from the perspective of the person hiring the wedding planner, you can see why this isn't useful for them, because they want the wedding planner to step up and be willing to navigate the conflict. And I think part of the reason that many of us fall into the mindset of wedding planner number one, like I said, I have been there, I get it. But the reason that many of us fall into that mindset is because typically at an individual contributor level, you're not responsible for navigating quite as much conflict, and it tends to be less and less a part of your role. Your role is to show up and deliver deliverables. So you can really accidentally get into a mindset of wedding planner number one simply because at the outset of your career, you are not exposed to a high level of conflict. What you're exposed to is this pattern where you show up and you do things and you get them done. And there's a level of ease to it because there's not as many messy human conflicts and human dynamics happening. So what happens is your brain starts to learn what it means to do my job, and what it means to do my job well is to show up and execute. And you don't think about conflict resolution as a part of your job and as one of your KPIs because it never has been, and it wasn't intended to be in the beginning. That said, as you grow and as you're transitioning out of individual contributor and more into leader, your job is going to change. And I think the difficult thing is no one ever stops you and pulls you aside and says, hey, listen, you are now transitioning from individual contributor to leader. And I just want to give you a heads up that things are about to change. The way that you used to do your job by showing up and creating a deliverable, it's not going to work that way anymore. Now, you're going to create some deliverables, but you're also going to spend a lot of your time doing really, really different things. And one of those things you're going to be doing is you're going to be navigating people problems and interpersonal issues that arise in the workplace. And those issues are going to get in the way of your execution, and you're going to feel really frustrated by them. But I just wanted to let you know that those conflicts and navigating those conflicts are now part of your job description. So even though they might be difficult or frustrating, it's now something that you've got to do. Okay, so no one pulls you aside and gives you that pep talk. So what happens is you have these jarring experiences where all of a sudden these difficult people issues are arising, conflicts are arising. You're now having to work with difficult stakeholders. And because you've never done that before, you become a little bit like wedding planner one, and you get into a little bit of a mindset of like, this shouldn't be happening. Why is this person being so difficult? And again, it's because no one ever pulls you aside and let you know like, hey, this is actually part of the job. It's going to happen and it's going to be very painful, but you're going to learn how to be a leader. And this is part of your process of learning how to be a leader. So I wanted to take this podcast episode, and I wanted to be the person to pull you aside and tell you that as you transition into leadership, this is part of your job. And it is really important to make a conscious decision of whether or not you want to cultivate this skill. You have to decide, do I want to be like wedding planner number one, or do I want to be like wedding planner number two? And it's so important to decide this and decide, do I want to take this on? Do I want to embrace this as part of my job? Do I want to decide that this is a skill set that I want to develop? Because if you haven't fully embraced it, and if a part of you is resisting it and thinking that you shouldn't have to do it or the conflict shouldn't be there, it's going to make it so difficult for you to learn to get good at it, because on some level deep inside, you're resisting it and thinking that the conflict is the problem. The conflict shouldn't be there. The conflict should go away. It becomes much more productive when you realize, no, the conflict isn't the problem. The conflict is a natural symptom of the role that I am stepping into. And now I am being called to rise to a higher, more sophisticated level of leadership and show people my abilities to navigate this difficult situation. That is ultimately the decision that you need to make. And if you can make that decision consciously and say, okay, I'm changing, my role is changing, and now it's time for me to embrace this really difficult, annoying, uncomfortable thing that I don't want to embrace. If you can make that shift, you not only become more valuable to your company, just like wedding planner number two is the more valuable wedding planner, but also you are going to be able to take on and navigate through bigger, more complicated things. You are going to be able to achieve better outcomes. Because here's the thing. As an individual contributor, all you can do is create the deliverables that you are capable of creating on your own. And if you want to lead and have a bigger impact, you have to be able to drive impact outside of yourself. And driving impact outside of yourself means you have to learn to work with other people, and you have to learn how to get things done through and with other people. And a big part of that that is going to be something that happens is then navigating through the pockets of conflict and resistance that come up. So this skill is directly tied to your ability to take on larger roles that have a bigger scope and to succeed in those roles. So the first thing that I just want you to think about is, are you willing to embrace this, even though it's difficult, even though it interferes with your execution, and even though you may have spent a lot of time getting accustomed to a role where all you have to do is show up and execute, and where conflict isn't a part of it and shouldn't be a part of it? Are you willing to make the transition where conflict now is a part of it? And often I say this to my clients, and I will share this with people. When you're elevating into leadership roles, you are getting paid a lot more money. The difference in compensation that happens as your team size grows and as your scope grows is pretty significant. And the reason for that is not just because you're executing more volume and you're creating bigger outputs, but it's also because of the emotional capacity and bandwidth that you have to have in order to do that. You have to have the emotional strength to be able to work through conflict and difficult, uncomfortable things. That is one of the things you are getting paid the big bucks for. And I say this because so many of us get into a pattern of being willing to challenge ourselves intellectually. And we're in a place where we're like, okay, you can throw the messiest, hardest, most difficult intellectual problem at me and I'll solve it for the business. Like, we're willing to do that. But then when we encounter something that's emotionally difficult, like a challenging stakeholder or a conflict or a really messy people situation, all of a sudden we're like, whoa, that's not supposed to be part of this. I don't want to do that. And what I want you to recognize is that that's a huge portion of what drives success in a leadership role. And I think we often overestimate the degree to which intellectual ability is what drives success, when really a huge piece of it is emotional stamina. And not just emotional stamina in solving conflicts, but emotional stamina across the board, having the confidence to put forth ideas, having the confidence to lead and experience the vulnerability that comes with being in a leadership position. These are not intellectual problems. These are emotional problems and emotional muscles that you have to build. And I think it's really important to ask yourself if that's worth it to you and ask yourself if you want that, right? You want to ask yourself, do I want the promotion? Do I want the executive compensation package? Do I want all that, knowing that the way that I'm going to earn that and the reason that I'm going to be deserving of that and the reason that my company is going to be willing to put me in that position and give me that title and give me that pay is because of the emotional capacity that I bring and because of my ability to be in these messy, difficult human situations that are hard for me and hard for other people and be able to navigate them and be able to still get things across the finish line. That's a question that you have to ask yourself, because otherwise, if you don't ask yourself that question, you will go into these roles and projects and opportunities with the unconscious expectation that they should feel more like the individual contributor work that you've been doing, when that's not the reality. And when you go in with that expectation and then it turns out to be different, the problem is, and I see this a lot, and we all do this, this is a very human thing, I'm not shaming anyone or anything, but the problem is when we go in with an expectation that it should be smooth and seamless and it should be very similar to the type of role that we've had before, what happens is then when things do get messy, we're resisting it and we don't have access to our own inner growth capacities to help us learn to navigate it. So instead of us saying, okay, this is hard, how am I going to learn to navigate this? We kind of shut down and think, ugh, I just hate this coworker. I hate this role, or this is too much. Like, I don't want to do this. So we don't become more powerful in the face of it when we go in expecting that it shouldn't be there. Because if we expect that it shouldn't be there, as soon as it arises, we're going to just try to eliminate it, right? Because we think it shouldn't be there. Versus like, if we know that it's supposed to be there, then we're going to be able to respond to it. It's kind of like if you're wanting to run a marathon and if you go into it expecting that you're not going to feel tired and you're not going to have moments where like your body thinks it needs to stop running, then you're not going to be able to run the marathon. Because as soon as you have like maybe a small cramp or like you're like, oh wow, this is feeling hard, you're going to be like, I guess I better stop running. Like, this isn't supposed to be happening. Versus if you know, hey, I'm running a marathon, this is going to be hard, like my body is going to feel uncomfortable, but that's part of it. If you go in knowing that, then when it happens, rather than you stopping or resisting or giving up, you're going to be much more prepared to move through it. And to be totally honest with you, I'm a little scared to put this podcast episode out, and it's hard for me to deliver this message because on the one hand, when you're feeling frustrated and maybe a coworker is being difficult and maybe they're even mistreating you, I think it's horrible. And I don't think that that's something that you should have to deal with. And on the other hand, it is something you have to learn to become really strong in response to if you want to elevate as a leader. And this brings me to something really important that I want to share, which is that there is a fine line between a difficult stakeholder and someone whose behavior is downright like unacceptable. And I just want to be clear that there's a line there. And I also want to be clear that you get to decide what that line is for yourself. So in my opinion, I'll tell you where my line is. But the reason that I'm drawing this line is because I'm not saying that you should be willing to work with abusive coworkers. That's a really clear message that I want to share with you. But I'll tell you how I think about that line for myself in my career, and then you can decide what your line is. So when it came to my career, I was very willing to handle disagreement, handle conflict, differing opinions, pressure testing my work, critiquing my work. I was willing to handle that. I was also willing to handle stakeholders who refused to collaborate, who said, we're too busy, we don't have capacity, like your team keeps asking for things and we can't offer your team that partnership. Like, I was willing to deal with all of those things. What I wasn't willing to deal with was human disrespect, like disrespect to the human. Because in my mind, there's a really, really, really big difference between the natural conflict that arises in an organization where we have scarce resources and lots of people need input and have different priorities, so we're gonna like butt heads, it's inevitable. There's a huge difference between that versus someone lacking respect at a human-to-human level. So when I say that the responsibility is on you, the leader, to navigate the conflict, I don't mean that you should put up with whatever mistreatment is getting thrown at you. You get to decide where your line is. And when your line gets crossed, you also get to decide if those are conditions that you want to continue working under. And that's a decision that only you can make. For me, I did not want to work under conditions where I was being mistreated. Now, there's even more nuance to this that I want to go into even more deeply, which is that I also believe that people can change. And that sometimes when people are disrespectful or treat us in a way that, you know, feels really bad or degrading, sometimes we can talk to them about it and things can get better. And I think it's important to hold an open mind. And sometimes things don't get better. And so for me, my thought process was, if I'm being disrespected and it's consistent and I don't see that this person has capacity to really relate to me in a more respectful way, I don't want to put myself in a situation or a job where I have a high level of exposure to that particular stakeholder. So if it's someone I only encounter like every once in a while, it's probably not going to be a deal breaker for me. But if it's someone that I'm working with very often, every week, every day, or whatever it might be, and they've not only disrespected me, but they aren't showing signs that they're capable of relating to me in any other way, then for me, my personal decision, and this is a very personal decision, but my personal decision was to move on from that situation because I personally didn't want to subject myself to the experience of being consistently disrespected. Just like I wouldn't want to be friends with someone who consistently disrespects me, I wouldn't want to work with someone who consistently disrespects me because that's a really unpleasant human experience. That said, though, my willingness and ability to navigate healthy conflict was high, and I didn't have a problem if someone refused to collaborate because their team was overloaded or if someone was pushing back or resisting. Because again, there's a difference, right? There's a subtle difference. And for everyone, it's different for every person. It's also highly personal. But one thing that I just really want to clarify is that I'm not saying that you should allow yourself to be mistreated. What I am saying is that as a leader, one of your responsibilities as a leader is to learn to navigate through conflict. And this is a subtle, nuanced thing. And I hope that I'm capturing the nuance effectively. This topic is just so massive. And so the way that I want to wrap it up is I want to ask you something that I often ask my clients that I think is such a powerful question to reflect on, which is when you think about a leader who is super effective and super powerful and who you really, really admire, I want you to ask yourself, how does that leader respond when conflict pops up? Because whatever answer comes up for you, that is your roadmap for the skills that you want to develop when it comes to conflict and difficult stakeholders. So for me, the way I answer that question is that a good leader is fearless in the face of conflict, just isn't afraid of it, isn't afraid to explore it, isn't afraid to go into it, isn't afraid to really be in it and understand it and flesh it out. A good leader doesn't run from conflict or avoid conflict, but they really try to gain an understanding of all different perspectives. They try to at all times demonstrate respect for themselves and all of the stakeholders involved in the conflict while gathering information and working to solve it in a way that balances all of the various interests of the stakeholders in the room, as well as the interests of the business overall. And that's not an easy thing to do, but that is one of the things that is going to make you stand out. That is one of the things that is going to get you promoted into a very big role, is that you have that unique capability. And it starts with the decision of, do I want to embrace the added scope, the added responsibility that comes with stepping into leadership? Am I a yes or am I a no? And if you're a yes, what that means on some level is that when conflict arises, it's a good thing because you need to be exposed to it in order to learn to navigate it. So if you're not being exposed to it, you're not developing the muscle, which means that you might find yourself down the road in a situation where you're very overwhelmed because a big conflict is happening and you haven't had the opportunity to build your ability to navigate it. So even though it's difficult, I want you to feel a little bit excited about conflict and excited about how it can help you develop as a leader. And I will tell you that when I was in my corporate career, whenever conflict came up, I would get excited because I was like, I'm going to show these bitches that I can handle this. Like, I'm going to show everyone how good I am at figuring this out. It is really a powerful way to distinguish yourself when you are the person who can not just execute, but who can execute despite the biggest, hairiest mess. And when you have these types of situations, you have the perfect playing field to do that, right? It's sort of like if you want to be a chess champion, it's going to be really hard for you to prove to everyone that you're a champion if you only play people who are bad at chess. Right? Like if you really want to show people that I'm the best of the best, you need to invite on the best chess players to play. And that's probably going to be hard and much more stressful than playing against a novice, but it is the path to developing your reputation. So I want you to think of conflict as being like a chess game where you're opting in to play in the big leagues. And when you have that mindset, you are going to be more equipped to navigate it. You're going to be resisting it less because you're going to see it for the growth opportunity that it truly is. Now, I mentioned in the beginning of this episode that this is a huge, huge topic, and I didn't even get through my full outline for this episode. So not only do I have other topics that I want to share, but I have even more that I want to go into on today's topic. I'm going to save it for a future episode. Otherwise, this episode's going to get crazy long, but I hope that you can walk away with the belief that you are capable of becoming the badass leader who thrives even in the face of difficult, uncomfortable conflict. And I'm going to record a future episode where I walk you through some of the psychological shifts that will help you get better at navigating it. But I wanted to start by laying this important foundation, which is that you have to choose to be willing to experience it and learn it in order to get good at it. If you are resisting it, it will be hard to get good at it. So I'm going to wrap up this episode here. Thank you so much for being here and for being a listener of the show. If you want to go deeper into my free resources and some of my work, check out my free resource library where you will find all of my audio trainings, ebooks, and video courses. There's also worksheets in there to help you really thrive in your corporate career, build confidence, and elevate your communication skills. You can grab the free resource library by heading to jessguzzikcoaching.com/free resources or clicking the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here. I had so much fun recording this, and I'll catch you in next week's episode. Bye.